Okay, I feel like we just did this. I feel like we just got together and talked and chatted here on the Panther Lair show. But we're back here on Wednesday morning and ready to talk a little bit more Pitt basketball, because it's funny, you know, we started off the podcast on Tuesday night. We did our regular weekly podcast on Tuesday night, and we said, well, there's no new Pitt basketball news, nothing new going on there. They haven't gotten any commitments or anything like that. And then we got done with the podcast around 9:30, and about an hour later came the news that there actually was a commitment. Pitt landed its first commitment for the 2021 recruiting class. It's been a long time since a player has said, I want to play for Pitt. And this time it was Nate Santos, a 6'7 forward swingman. We'll talk about his position in a second. He's playing at Loomis Chaffee School in Connecticut, originally from Illinois, outside of Chicago, is where he grew up, and then spent a couple years playing at Loomis Chaffee School in Connecticut. And he got an offer from Pitt about a week ago. I think it was last Monday. And then yesterday, Tuesday, he announced that he was committing to the Panthers. Lots to get into with this commitment from Nate Santos. And so we figured, look, I know we just did a podcast last night about 14 hours ago. We did a podcast and talked about Pitt basketball and football and all those things. But we got to fire it back up. We can't wait another week before we talk about Pitt basketball getting its first commitment for the 2021 recruiting class. The first player who says, I want to be a newcomer on the 2021-2022 Pitt basketball roster. I said, we got to fire up the live stream and talk about it. So we welcome everybody in who's coming in on the lunch break or maybe a little ahead of their lunch break to talk a little Pitt basketball. Use the chat function there in the live stream. You can post some comments, some questions. We can have a little conversation about this. We'll talk for a little while about what Nate Santos is going to bring to Pitt's roster, how he's going to fit in with the roster, and then, of course, the big question, where they go from here and how they fill out this roster. Got to give a quick shout-out, of course, to PantherLair.com is the website, Panther-Lair.com, Pittsburgh.Rivals.com. Go check that site out. There's lots of conversation going on right now about Nate Santos committing. We've got an interview up with Santos where he talks about why he picked Pitt. And, of course, on the message boards, everybody's talking about Santos and what he's going to bring to the roster and how this, you know, what this means for Pitt basketball in this coming season. So make sure you go check out the website. And then, of course, we're rocking the home field apparel. Today, Warm Up the Victory Lights is the shirt. It's a football shirt, but Homefield hasn't sent me a basketball shirt. So we'll go with this for now. You got to check them out, homefieldapparel.com. High quality gear, great Pitt stuff, great for a lot of schools. You know, if you want something other than Pitt every now and then, you want to wear something a little bit different, well, go check out Homefield. You're going to find something you like. And when you get it, you're going to be blown away by how soft it is, how well it fits. It's a great product. Homefieldapparel.com. Go check them out. We rep them all the time here on the podcast, and for good reason. They're a great company, great people, and they make a great product. So what a great combination, right? All right, Nate Santos, what's the deal here? Well, the first thing that you're going to hear from anybody when they talk about Nate Santos, the thing that's going to stand out the most, the first thing you're going to notice when you either watch his video or you look at his Rivals profile or you read articles about him, when you talk to any Pitt fan, say, what's the deal with this Nate Santos? The first thing you're going to be told is that he's 6'7", and he's a three-point shooter. And you might not hear those things in that order, but I think those are the two key ingredients here. And they're the biggest things about Nate Santos, the biggest things about his game, you know, not being clever about the fact that he's 6'7", and, you know, 6'7", and I'm saying it's the biggest thing about his game. But those are the things that are going to stand out the most when you look at him and what he's going to bring to any college roster. We list him in the Rivals database as a three-star power forward prospect, but I don't think he's going to be a four in college. He could. I mean, he's 6'7", but he's sort of a thinner 6'7". And when you talk to him, he says that, you know, the Pitt coaches and other college coaches have told him he could be a two or a three in college. So you're really looking at sort of a swingman here who, again, can step out and shoot the three-pointer. And we all know how important that is. Pitt was number 11 in the ACC last season in three-point shooting percentage. They were number 14 in three-pointers made and 14 in three-pointers attempted. They didn't shoot a lot of threes. They didn't make a lot of threes. And when they did shoot them, they didn't do very well at connecting. So they were not dead last in three-pointers made in the ACC last year, but they were next to last. And they were 11th out of 15 teams in three-point shooting percentage because really they had one effective three-point shooter or a guy who is ostensibly an effective three-point shooter in Ethio Horton, and he wasn't even all that consistent in knocking those shots down. So I think when you looked at what Pitt needed to add this offseason, we looked at some of the important, you know, the needs for this roster this offseason, whether in the transfer portal or, you know, high school recruiting, and really in both, there were a lot of things. I mean, center was at the top of the list. I've put that at the top of the list since the season ended, since before the season ended. I put that at the top of the list. But a shooter is not far behind. And it's one of those things where, yeah, everybody could use a great shooter. You know, everybody in football could use a great running back or a great wide receiver. Everybody in basketball could use a great shooter. Who doesn't want a great shooter? But I think there's even more, there's even more of a pressing need on Pitt's roster where they don't really have those guys. Nike Sabandi can knock down some shots. He made a lot at Miami of Ohio. Femi Odekalli, I guess, could probably make some shots here and there, but I don't think that's going to be the bulk of his game, the crux of his game. We'll see what can develop with Will Jefferson's shot. But really, you're looking at Ethio Horton as the only threat from outside, and even he wasn't consistent enough that teams really had to respect it. They knew they had to close out on him. And once, you know, he had a few games where he made some shots there in the non-conference, and teams had to respect him a little bit more, but it still wasn't, you know, I'm sure their bench was yelling shooter when he got the ball, but he was the only one. And it wasn't, I don't think it was that considerable of a threat. They need somebody else out there who can take some of that threat, who can be some of that threat. And I think with Santos, with his size and, you know, the fact that he could potentially play the small forward position, you can now put Horton and Santos on the court together. If you were so inclined, you could have two big shooters or two good shooters on the floor at the same time. And that's going to obviously expand what you're able to do with your offense. It's going to expand the threats and, you know, increase the volume of threats that you have on the court at one time. And that just makes you that much more dangerous offensively. So that's the biggest thing that Nate Santos brings to this roster. And I think it was an important need to fill. You know, I think they needed to get a shooter this offseason. It just so happened they found one who was 6'7", which I think adds an amount of intrigue to it, you know, and you watch some of the video clips of him out there, and he's able to use his size to get shots over smaller defenders. I mean, if you put him in at the two, say you've got your point guards, Femi Odekalli, and then if you went with, you know, a guy like Nate Santos and Will Jeffers, who's also a bigger guy, you got two bigger guys playing the two and the three. There's going to be a mismatch there somewhere, and it's going to be somebody that either Jeffers can attack or Santos can shoot over. And I think, you know, I think you can see the versatility that he adds and he potentially could add to this lineup, you know, maybe as soon as this season. Somebody in the message boards asked if Cam Johnson was a good comparison for Nate Santos. And I thought that was interesting. As a bigger guy, a bigger swing man, a bigger wing who can step out and knock down the three when he's 6'6", 6'7". And yeah, I think that's probably a decent comparison, although it was mentioned on the boards, and I kind of agree. I'm not sure if Santos is as athletic as Cam Johnson is, or as athletic as Cam Johnson was at Pitt, but it is somewhat similar in a bigger guy, a skinnier guy who can step out and make shots. Question comes up, you know, why is Nate Santos, why was he still on the board? He's a 6'7 guy who can knock down threes. Why is he still available? Why hasn't he signed with a school yet when we're in, you know, the first week of April? Of his senior season. And really, when we interviewed him, actually our guy Houston Wilson does a great job covering Pitt basketball recruiting for us at PantherLair.com. When Houston interviewed Nate Santos after he got the offer last Monday, you know, he said that basically it was Pitt and George Washington. George Washington was the only other school that was really pursuing him. Pitt had started talking to him a couple weeks before the offer, but really kind of turned up, you know, obviously you turn up the intensity of the recruitment when you offer a guy a scholarship. And so I think it's reasonable to ask, well, what's going on here? Is there some kind of backstory? Loomis Chaffee School is not completely hidden in Connecticut. You know, I mean, I think it's a school that's somewhat well known, for basketball. And, you know, it's one of these, you know, it's a New England basketball school. They play more sports than just basketball. I shouldn't call it a basketball school. They do a lot of things there. But, you know, so I think it's valid to ask, why is he still on the board? And part of the backstory with Nate Santos is that in February of 2019, he tore his ACL. And I think at that point he had a pretty decent offer sheet. I think Creighton, Dayton, I like to say those two back-to-back because they rhyme, Xavier. I have to break that habit now that Xavier Johnson's gone. Xavier, Virginia Tech, a handful of schools were pursuing him. I think Wisconsin was interested as well. And he had some good scholarship offers. He tore the ACL, and I think that slowed his recruitment down a little bit. Now, by the following fall, he was able to start playing again with Loomis Chaffee. I think he played the full 2019-2020 season. So he was able to put some film out there of what he could do. And that helps. You know, that should help your recruitment. You're able to demonstrate a little bit. But we all know about basketball recruiting. So much is done over the summer. You know, in the spring and in the summer with the evaluation camps and the different AAU tournaments and things you can go around and do. Nate Santos, coming off an ACL injury, playing a full season, needed to go out and participate and perform in those camps and tournaments and show how well he can move and show what he could do. But that was the spring of 2020 and the summer of 2020. And I really think, and I mean, I haven't asked 100 college coaches about this, but I really think when you look at Santos's individual situation, you get the combination of the injury and the COVID cancellations of all the tournaments and camps that were in evaluation opportunities that were supposed to happen over the course of last spring and last summer, and they all got canceled. And he hasn't had a season this year. And I think that has conspired to leave him hanging out there without a lot of opportunities, despite the fact that he's a 6'7" three-point shooter. You know, he's not five-star guy. He's not a top 10 recruit in the country, but a 6'7" three-point shooter is going to be a useful player in college. You know, and I think schools can find room and would like to have a guy like that. But I think when you put all those factors together, and while he was recovering from his injury, because obviously, so he suffered that injury in February of 2019. That means no, you know, camps or evaluations or tournaments through that spring and summer while he's recovering from the ACL, even though he was good to go by the time the season started in November, I think December is when they played their first game in the 2019-2020 season. He was good to go by then, but it wasn't like he could really show what he could do in those tournaments and camps and evaluation opportunities through the spring and the summer of 2019. So you get this sort of confluence of events that leads to a guy who's a three-point shooter at 6'7" waiting out there in the first week of April of his senior year. Maybe this is a situation where Pick kind of lucked into it a little bit. You know, they got lucky. You know, his misfortune was Pitt's good fortune, so to speak, if you follow what I'm saying there. His misfortune of being under-recruited because of all the circumstances and the situation, just kind of the timeline of how things played out, that misfortune for Nate Santos may have paid off in Pitt's favor. And that doesn't mean that, you know, he got the bad end of the deal. He's going to go play in an ACC school, a school that has, as of right now, six scholarship players, you know, definitely coming back, potentially seven, depending on Justin Ciambeni. So, you know, it's not like he got the raw end of the deal. He just, his recruitment might not have gone the way he wanted, but it went the way it went. And the result now is that he's going to go and play for Pitt. And I think it's a good signing. Look, we're at a point with this team. We're going to get to some questions and comments here in a second. I think we're at the point with this team and this roster where you know, you look at it and there's not a lot of there aren't too many. There are so many available spots right now on this roster. Even if you include Nate Santos, even if you say Justin Ciampenny's coming back, that still leaves you with six more scholarships you can give out. So, you know, if they fill them all up with guys who are kind of off the radar, out of nowhere, sleepers, then you say, I don't know about that. But they're still at a point now where there aren't too many bad pickups because you've got a lot of space to give. Now, there's still some very important needs, some needs at the very top of the list here that Pitt absolutely has to get at some point over the next 3 months or so. And we'll talk about those in a second. But along the way, they can bring in guys who can provide depth. They can bring in guys who are developmental prospects. They can bring in guys who can be backups. You can get two or three or four of those guys. Maybe four is too much, but you can get a bunch of them because you've got the space. You got the available scholarship room. you can take some chances. And I'm not saying that's what they're doing with Nate Santos. I don't think they're taking chances with a guy who's 6'7" and can shoot. I think that's a safe bet. That's a smart bet, you know? But I think, you know, if we see them take a couple of guys that you look at and you say, is this guy really gonna contribute? Is he really gonna do much? I think it's okay to get a guy like that, a guy or two, where you say, well, I don't know if this guy's actually gonna play at an ACC level, but he's got this tool or that tool that, boy, he could really, if he can develop, he could be really good. They might have found a sleeper. They've got room to take sleepers. And now, again, I'm not saying that's what Nate Santos is. I think he's got a unique set of circumstances that sort of led to this situation for him. And that's, you know, like I say, sort of to Pitt's benefit because they're able to get him. But, you know, I think they've got room to take guys who maybe don't project as ACC starters. They could take a couple of those as well. As we look at the roster, before we get into the questions and comments, and people are throwing some questions and comments up here on the live stream, and we appreciate that. As we look at the roster right now, projected to come back, scholarship guys, Femi Odekali, Nike Sabandi, Ithuel Horton, Will Jeffers, Noah Collier, Max Madison. Now, that's six guys. For the purposes of counting scholarships, we don't count Nike Sabandi. He doesn't count. He is a super senior. You know, the COVID year, the free year doesn't count against the scholarship limit. So when we talk about Pitt's 13-man scholarship limit, Nike Sabandi is not part of that. So really you're looking at five, okay? Odekali, Horton, Jeffers, Collier, and Madison. Five guys who count. Now, Justin Champagne turns that number to six, obviously, if he decides to come back. And there he is. He just showed up on the screen just as I mentioned that. Is that not good timing? Are we not a professional outlet or what? So you're looking at five to six scholarship players. You're looking at seven to eight openings to fill right now. Nate Santos takes that number down to six to seven. You've got six or seven open scholarship spots. Let's say six, okay? Because let's assume, and I think it's sort of safe, that if Justin Champagne, obviously, if he comes back, you have six scholarship spots to give out. If he doesn't come back, you've got seven, but I don't know that they're actually going to. I wouldn't be surprised to see them have 12 scholarship players plus Nike Sabandi and play with 13 guys who are technically on scholarship, 12 of which count against their scholarship limit. So let's say they need six more players. Let's say they're going to fill six more spots. At the top of the list, in the top two spots on the list, you know what I'm going to say because I've been saying it for weeks and months, and Pitt fans have been saying it for weeks and months, and Pitt media have been saying it for weeks and months. Everybody's been saying it for weeks and months. Everybody knows what it is. Top two spots on the list of needs, most important, center. Transfer, high school. Need centers. You need big men to play on this team because you don't have any. Max Madison is the only guy I have penciled in here as a five. I wrote it down ahead of time, and you know I don't know what kind of option you consider him to be. So you need centers. If you've got six spots to fill, at least two of them need to go to centers, potentially even three. If you could get two high school guys, if you were able to go out and get a veteran transfer, a big-time high school guy, and we know the big one that's still lurking out there, and I don't know if Pitt's going to get him or not. But if you got those two, you'd have a veteran for this year, your big-time high school kid who could play this year, and then you want to get a third guy, a developmental guy that is going to be here for a couple years that you bring in and maybe doesn't play much this year, but you can try and build him and develop him over the next few years. That's fine with me. You've got six scholarship spots to give. Get three centers. Go for it. That's cool. I'm on board with that. That still leaves you three spots to fill. And with one of those, I'm taking a backup point guard. I think this is pretty important. I put it below center because it's not as dire a situation because you've at least got one scholarship point guard coming back and you've got Onyebuchi Iziakudo also coming back, a walk-on who has done okay when he's been asked to fill in as the backup point guard. You still need a scholarship guy, though. And mostly, you know, it'd be nice to find a transfer. I don't know if you're going to find a transfer point guard who's going to come in and play when you've got Femi Odekali coming back. Getting a high school kid who would be willing to come in and split some minutes with Odekali and learn with him and sort of develop a little bit, I think that's far more reasonable. We've talked about Jalen Blakes a lot as a high school recruit. And, you know, we've talked about him a lot on the message boards. I think he's a guy who could step in and be the backup point guard with Femi Odekali. So I'm looking at six open spots. I'm taking two centers and a backup point guard, and I've still got three spots. One of those I'm willing to use on a backup or on another center. And then I think you need some help at the power forward position, whether you get Champagne back or not. Because even if you get Champagne back, you're having him back for 2021-22. You really can't count on having him back for 2022-23. You know what I mean? It was kind of like when the football team got Patrick Jones and Paris Ford and Jalen Twyman to come back for the 2020 season, you know, back after the Quick Lane Bowl in Detroit, when they all three announced that they were coming back. I think they all announced then. I forget exactly. But it was like, wow, that's great. You got them coming back. You got these guys. But you knew you weren't going to have them for 2021. Patrick Jones was graduating, so you knew he had no opportunity. But you also knew that Jalen Twyman and Paris Ford, barring some crazy tragedy, were not going to be coming back in 2021. So you got this extra year out of them that you weren't sure if you were going to get, but you knew you weren't going to get any more beyond that. And I think it's the same thing with Justin Champagne. If somehow he decides to come back for this season, that's great. You better have a plan ready for the next year. And I mean, you know, we talk about this. I talked about this last night on the podcast that, you know, if the transfer portal continues to be the factor that it is, continues to be as full as it is, continues to sort of impact the game the way it has over the past few, you know, or at least this year, then you don't think as much about the future because there are going to be guys available. That said, whether you get Champagne back or not, I think you need to get a power forward. You need somebody who can play there. Maybe that's Noah Collier. You know, maybe you've got the backup there. You know, Collier, I don't know if, you know, he's more three, more four. I'm not sure exactly what his best position is yet. He might have to play the four. Will Jeffers might have to play the four if you don't have Justin Champagne back. You know, I look down this roster right now, and I look down at what a depth chart could look like. And, you know, if you start Odekali, Sabandi, Jeffers, let's say Champagne, and then whatever transfer five you get, all right, then you need Odekali's backup, probably a freshman. You know, Sabandi's backup would be Ethiel Horton. Jeffers' backup, Nate Santos. Or maybe you go out and get a transfer wing. You know, the four, if you have Champagne, I would guess maybe Noah Collier's your backup, or maybe you get a transfer who can come in and be the backup. If Champagne is gone, then I think you almost have to get a transfer power forward, somebody who can come in and play that spot right away. And then the five, you're going to have one transfer. Ideally, you're going to have one transfer and one high school, and maybe Max Madison. It's shaping up to be a decent roster. So much of it depends on what Justin Champagne does. So much of it depends on what veteran transfer center they are able to convince to come to Pitt. But I think Nate Santos does fill a hole as your backup three, who could potentially also play at the two, who could line up with Ethiel Horton, could line up with Femi Odekali, could line up as the third if you want to go Odekali and Horton and Santos. I mean, I think you could do that and have 2 3-point shooting threats plus, you know, Odekali's ability to drive. I mean, piece by piece, this roster has potential. A lot of it's going to depend on Justin Champagne, of how high that potential is. And then, of course, that big question that hangs out there of what are they going to get at center? Who's going to play center? All right, let's get to some questions and some comments, see what people are talking about here. Everybody jumping in on the live stream, we appreciate that. Colin Towell says, really like the interview Noah Santos did with Houston Wilson. He sounds like a good kid, mentions being a good teammate and working hard all the time. Can't ask for anything more. You know, I mean, there's something to be said for a guy who suffers an ACL injury, right, in February of his junior year. I guess at the end of his sophomore year it would have been. Right, because then he played his junior year of 2019-2020, and now this is his senior year 2020-2021, which he has not played because they didn't have any basketball games. Yeah, I think there's something to be said for a guy who suffers an injury and works back from it and seemingly excels. You know, I think you learn, particularly when you're young like that, you're in high school, it takes work. I mean, it's hard work to come back from an injury like an ACL. And I think it speaks to, you know, something about Nate Santos that he was able to do it and how he battled back. Anthony Tennyson says, I think this is a nice pickup. We definitely need a shooter like him. I think there's no question about it, Tony. I think you're absolutely right. I think Pitt needed a shooter. They couldn't go into next season with just, you know, Ithiel Horton as the only real three-point shooting threat. They needed somebody else who could be an impact player in that area, in that department, I should say. Nick Santos has the potential to be that. Jason Martell says, nice pickup, good size, can shoot the ball, and has a high basketball IQ. Yeah, I think, you know, that size and the shooting is what it really comes down to. I'll take your word on his IQ. I mean, we'll see what we can find out. We're hoping to talk to his coach and get some thoughts about about what he does well on the court. But you watch his film, he looks like he can handle himself on the court pretty well. Street Pigeons Music and Others says his handle looked competent to me as well, which is a big deal. He's not just a standstill shooter. Yeah, I thought there were some clips where he was able to, you know, kind of, you know, fake drive and, you know, pull up and, you know, pump fake and some things like that. He was able to move around. He was able to do some catch and shoot. He was able to kind of run through the offense and pull up shoot. I think he's got some different skills. I wonder a little bit about, I mean, you know, you'll see how some of these things translate, right? I think the shooting you would expect to translate to college. His ability, you know, the ability to dribble and shoot and kind of, you know, catch and shoot or, try and drive and shoot. We'll see how those things translate as he gets against better athletes, bigger athletes, more talented guys in college basketball. But I think he's got, you know, his film. There's something he said for that. Street Pigeons Music and Others. I think you're right about that. Royce Beacom says Santos has three siblings who play or played Division I. He was raised in a military household, maybe loyal enough to stick around for a few years. Do you think longevity is now a recruiting characteristic to look for? No, I shouldn't say no. That was way too offhanded. I think that's a good question, Royce. I think that's a good question about longevity. I think you want to recruit to get guys who are going to be with your program for a few years. And look, as much as we talk about 1,000, you know, 1,200 guys in the transfer portal, the majority of guys have not transferred. You know, the majority of players on the 350-some teams in Division I college basketball are still on their teams in Division I college basketball. But, you know, there was a certain reality exposed and maybe a Pandora's box opened this offseason that if you want to go. You know, and I don't know if you can, I don't know how much you can count on guys sticking around anymore. Yeah, not after this offseason. Now, maybe we'll get through next offseason and we'll say, oh, look, that was a one-year thing. It got crazy in that, you know, spring of 2021, but it's not going to be like that anymore. You're not going to have guys going in the portal, three games left in the season. You're not going to have 1,200 guys in the transfer portal every offseason. You know, maybe that'll be the case. I don't know. I don't know what to expect next year. I don't know what the transfer portal is going to look like next year. I don't know what kind of havoc it's going to wreak on college basketball rosters next year. There's part of me that thinks it'll pare back a little bit. There's part of me that thinks that this year was wild and unpredictable and challenging and a lot of guys, you know, dealing with the stress of going through this COVID year might have ultimately thought, you know what, I just need to go somewhere else. Not because, you know, not like the COVID year didn't happen everywhere, but sometimes that stress makes you reevaluate things and say, am I really in the best place for me? Am I really in the place I want to be? Am I really here doing what I want to do? You know, I have to think that might have contributed to it a little bit. So maybe we get to next year and you have something of a normal season. You have something of a normal off season where you're not taking COVID tests every other day and things like that. And you don't have the stresses of and the challenges that these guys face this year. And maybe it calms down a little bit. Or maybe we open the Pandora's box that we're not going to be able to close and guys are going to go crazy transferring every off season. I don't know. We'll see. You know, as far as recruiting for longevity, I mean, it's going to be tricky. I don't know if you can really project which guys are going to stick around and which ones aren't. You know, I think when you recruited, when Jeff Capel recruited, you know, Xavier Johnson and Trey McGowan's and Audis Tony, did he think those guys were going to transfer after, you know, in McGowan's case after 2 years, in, you know, Johnson and Tony's case with 3 games left to go in their third season? Probably not. He probably recruited them for longevity. And, you know, you see how it worked out. I don't know if you can necessarily project that. I think you want to get good basketball players. First and foremost, Royce, I think that's what it comes down to. You want to get good basketball players and then hope that they stick around long enough to help you win consistently. I can tell you this. I wouldn't want to be a college basketball coach right now. I would like, you know, the millions. That would be nice. But this is a hard job. If you right now, if you're like Jeff Capel and you feel like you need to rebuild your roster every year, and I know Capel, I don't think Capel feels like he has to totally rebuild his roster this offseason. I think he feels good about Femi Odekali. I think he likes, you know, having Nike Sabandi back for another year. I think he's really excited about, you know, Will Jeffress. I think he still likes the potential that Ethiel Horton has. But he's got a lot to, and he's got to feel great about what Justin Champagny has become. He might not like the idea of playing without Champagny next year, but he's got to love what Justin Champagny has grown into as one of the best players in the ACC. So I don't know if he necessarily feels like he's totally rebuilding his roster, but he's got potentially 8 open scholarship spots he can fill. That's a significant rebuild. And so he's got a lot of work to do, and I don't envy him that. So, all right, won't take up too much of your afternoon here. You know, long and short of it is this. The one big thing is this. Pitt got a commitment for the 2021 recruiting class. Very first commitment for the 21 recruiting class. First of potentially many. You know, when you talk about high school recruiting and transfers, they're going to get a lot more guys. And Nate Santos, you know, happens to be the first. Let's put it that way. He's a 6'7" guy. He can shoot threes, and I think that's a great combo to start with. You're not bringing him in necessarily to be a starter. You don't need him to be one of your top 5 players. What you need him to be is an effective and consistent 3-point shooter. He can come off the bench and play multiple positions, which is what it looks like Nate Santos can do. So, you know, circumstances conspired to leave him in the situation that he's in right now, where he's looking for a school in the first week of April. It happens. And it might have happened to Pitt's benefit. So we'll see what plays out. All right. We will, next big event is next Thursday when Efton Reed, the 5-star center, announces his commitment. Pitt is in the mix there. Don't know what's going to happen. We'll have to see. But we'll keep an eye on transfers and things like that. And if Pitt gets another commitment, then you know what? We'll have another live stream. In the meantime, we'll have the Panthers Insider Show on Saturday morning on 93.7 The Fan. You can listen to that. Make sure you tune into the website. Our website all week, panther-lair.com, pittsburgh.rivals.com, most comprehensive source of Pitt sports news on the internet. We got a lot of coverage there of Nate Santos' commitment. We're going to have even more. We'll have this podcast and video posted there. And then, of course, next Tuesday night, we'll have our regular live stream at 8:30 right here on youtube.com/pantherlair.com. Listen, if you were on this live stream right now and you want to make sure you don't miss any of our live streams, click the subscribe button. We appreciate when everybody hits like on the video while we're doing it. But click subscribe. Subscribe to our YouTube channel so you can get notifications so you know when we're going live. We want to make sure... we want to make sure that we get that you don't miss anything. So, because when things like this happen, when there's a commitment or some big news like this, we'll fire up the live stream machine and we'll start talking at you. So, homefieldapparel.com, go check them out for some great Pitt gear, great Pitt shirts and sweatshirts, super comfortable, great designs, some of the best stuff you're going to find. Go there, homefieldapparel.com. Make sure you stay tuned at panther-lair.com, pittsburgh.rivals.com. Thanks, everybody, for jumping in during the live stream, for the comments and questions. Thanks to everybody for listening to the podcast through the week. You guys have a great rest of the week. Maybe I'll talk to you again tomorrow. Who knows? Maybe there'll be more news that comes out. We'll do another live stream. Let's do this every day, huh? Let's get together and just chat about things. All right, you guys have a good rest of the day, and we will talk to you again soon.